Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm your host, John Ray, and we are coming to you from the Business Radio X studio inside the Renaissance Bank office on Windward Parkway in Alpharetta. Folks, you are connected more than you'd like to be sometimes, whether it's your friends, your family, or your life. Renaissance understands that. They understand how you would like to bank, and they offer mobile banking services that you need. But they also know that sometimes you need to speak to real people with real answers. That's why the Renaissance has more than 190 convenient locations throughout the South with real people ready to serve you. For more information, go to renaissancebank.com. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now we welcome Iris Grimm. Iris is a coach, trainer, facilitator extraordinaire with Master Performance, Inc. Iris, welcome.
Thank you very much, John.
Great to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so tell us about you. Tell us about what you're up to. How do you serve folks?
Okay. So, as you said, my name is Iris, and I work with people who are in leadership positions, and I help them to make improvements in their life, work better with their teams, and also live better with their dogs.
Live better with their dogs?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll definitely get to that. I may need some help.
Okay.
Yeah, well, let's turn the mics off right now. I've got a dog and its owner that need help. But well, anyway, no.
It's not so much the dog. It's more really the people who are leading
the owner.
The dogs.
Yeah.
Because, you know, even with dogs, it's all about leadership.
Of course.
Life is about leadership.
That's why I wanted to turn the mics off. I don't want anybody to hear this conversation we're about going to have. But anyway, no, let's get on to you and talk about you. So, talk a little bit about your background and how you got into this coaching, because everybody's got a journey.
Everybody has a journey, yeah. Mm-hmm. And my journey is slightly different than a lot of other people's. So as you can hear, I'm having a little accent.
I heard that.
Not as strong as Arnold Schwarzenegger, but, you know.
you're from southern Germany, right?
I'm from East Germany.
Okay.
So I grew up in East Germany for the first 19, 20 years. The war came down in 1989.
Oh, wow.
And I was in the university at the time. And I decided to pack my two suitcases and move to West Germany.
Mm.
And then I worked in West Germany for a year, went back to college there, finished college. And then, you know, when you have been limited to go anywhere in the world, then obviously you say, all right, now I have freedom. Where do I want to go next?
Mm.
And my college major was international business. So I decided to come here to America.
Mm-hmm.
And again, packed two suitcases. That seems to be the theme.
Right.
And that is how I ended up here in Atlanta in 1995 with the German-American Chamber of Commerce.
Wow. That's awesome. Now, what about that, your background, how does that inform you today? Because you came from a very restrictive environment, an environment that crushed the creative side, if you will, right? Talk about how that your background informs the way you look at the world today and your coaching practice. Because you help people get out of confinement in a way, right?
As you
coach them.
Yeah, I do. And, you know, it's interesting when you say a background where creativity was crushed, because it was crushed in the way of what you could do,
mm-hmm.
right?
Sure.
Having no freedom when it comes to creation of businesses and fulfillment in your workplace, unless you were lucky with the job that you chose, right?
Right.
But then there was the creativity of improvisation, right? Because we had less. And with the little that we had to do something. And also, you know, and that is really universal. I mean, and back in the days in East Germany, money did not mean much because you could not buy a whole bunch with money.
Right.
But what mattered was relationships, right? And even nowadays here, relationships matter.
Sure.
Life is relationships, right? And if we don't have relationships with our staff, with our team, if we don't have relationships with customers, if we don't have relationship with our dog, if we don't have a relationship in the community, we really don't have a life.
Yeah, and I guess there are restrictions that on ourselves that we can see and mm-hmm. that are outside ourselves, and then there's restrictions we kind of place on ourselves or right. that we see ourselves in, that we don't feel like we can get out of.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that is really where coaching can be very helpful for people mm-hmm. because oftentimes they don't see their blind spots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they really don't see that they are not living up to their potential.
Sure.
And they are caught up in their own old beliefs. And many times these are beliefs that we created way back in life, right? But then at the same time, especially people who are in a leadership position, nobody dares to speak up to them, right? Mm. Nobody dares to criticize them or give them, you know, critical feedback.
Sure.
And so that's why you hear many business owners or even executives who say it's lonely at the top.
Right.
Right.
For sure.
And so because of that situation that they are having, to have a coach by their side, somebody who challenges them in their thinking, somebody is there to be a sounding board for their ideas, somebody who is nudging them and gives them the opportunity to open up their perspective.
Yeah.
You know, that can be super critical for any kind of leader, right? And as I mentioned in the intro, I mean, you don't see any football team going on to, you know, NFL football team going on to the Super Bowl without a coach. Many times it's not the talent of the players that make the difference. It's the coaching that makes the difference.
Right. For sure. I want to get back to your philosophy on some of those points, but talk about how you got to Atlanta. Why Atlanta? I mean, the United States is a big subject, so why did you end up, you wanted to come to the U.S., why did you end up in Atlanta?
It was really not my personal choice.
Okay.
It was really, at the time, I mean, I had a limited visa, a limited work visa.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a German-American chamber who saw my resume. And
awesome.
And that is how I got here. Now, I must admit the climate helped.
Right. You realize you hit the jackpot when you got here.
I hit the jackpot. And I always say, you know, especially where I grew up in the mountains in East Germany where,
oh, okay.
you know, 300, my dad will be very disappointed if I say this year.
Yes.
Where, you know, I always said 350 out of 365 days, we started out having bad weather and fog. And then you come here to Atlanta and, you know, it's like sunshine almost every day. That makes a big difference on
sure.
on your mood and on your attitude.
Right.
So here now I just say we just have one bad season. That's for me, summer.
Mm.
All the other three seasons I enjoy in Atlanta.
That's awesome. Folks, if you just joined us, we're speaking with Iris Grimm, and she is a coach trainer with Master Performance, Inc. So Iris, you, what led you into coaching? I mean, you were at the, German American Chamber of Commerce. Of all the things you could have done after that, why coaching?
Why coaching? Because after I left the German American Chamber, I worked with Nortel Networks, which was here just up the road.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned very quickly that corporate America was not for me. And so I was on a search because I thought, all right, now I have here unlimited opportunities. What am I going to do about that? So interestingly enough, I met somebody who did career coaching and did career assessments, and I went through the process, not really knowing what coaching was. And during those conversations, what came out was really that I enjoy teaching. I am a good communicator. I love everything around challenging yourself, growing, you know, personal growth, being better tomorrow than today. And yeah, that is really how I ended up and say, yeah, let me explore this field a little bit further. And then I went back to school and learned more about coaching. And now I've been in business for 19 years.
That's awesome. And so you're really speaking to the value of coaching, right? Because you got coached yourself when you were at that point of transition.
Right. I got coached myself. Mm-hmm. I had this experience and it was really natural for me then to say, all right, I see the value of it. Why not share that with other people? Even though back in the days, nobody really knew what coaching was.
Well, and I want to drill into that. Since you brought that up, thank you for that, because coaching is a big subject. I think people hear that term and they maybe it's so broad for some people, they don't know really what that means. And I heard you talk a little bit about leadership. You're looking for leaders and how they relate to people. Mm-hmm. Drill into that a little bit more about how you, the kind of issues that you're typically working with, mm-hmm. with your clients.
Yeah. So for example, one of my clients, is a surgeon, a neurosurgeon, and he came to a hospital because, he was promised a directorship, position in the hospital. But it became very clear at the beginning he had the personality and he had the surgical skills and expertise and patients loved him, but his colleagues did not like him. And so the hospital CEO called me at the time and said, hey, Iris, can you work with this doctor for a year and really help him polish up his leadership skills? But it was not only polishing up his leadership skills, it was also really mending the relationship with the relationships with the people that he destroyed because of his lack of awareness, his lack of good communication skills. And so when I worked with him, it was really after 3.5 months, I got a phone call from the hospital CEO and they called me back in. I'm like, what's going to happen now? And he was like, I don't know what you did with this guy, but he's a completely different person. And they actually then promoted him after the first 4 months working with me into that role.
So, wow, you work fast, Iris.
I don't know if it is me working fast, but I do believe that I have good skills relating with people and for people to build trust with me quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they have that trust and really realize it has nothing to do with the organization, it's all about them and who they are becoming as a person.
Right.
Right. Then they are opening up. And when somebody opens up and is willing to explore new ideas and things that are going on in their life and in their business, then, you know, these are all smart people.
Sure.
That I'm working with, right?
Sure.
It's just
very smart
they
people.
Are stuck in their way and sometimes they have a very narrow view. And if somebody saw my hands, I show it with my hands where there are limits. And all I do is sometimes is allowing them to move that one hand out so that their view opens up. And as Wayne Dyer always said, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at changes.
Mm. Now, you have to have, though, people willing to work with you, right? So it's a two-way street.
It's a two-way street.
Yeah. So I was kind of joking about you working fast because really the two of you together made that happen, right?
Yeah.
So you had a willing participant in that journey.
I had a willing participant. However, at the same time, and this is something that I did not share with the hospital CEO at the time because I do have confidentiality with my clients. So in other words, anything that they're sharing with me is completely confidential. Even though an organization will hire me to work with someone, I let them know right up front that whatever we are sharing in that conversation is completely confidential. And I learned in the first session where he was sitting there with his arms crossed in front of me, telling me that he put his house on the market. You know, that he was just ready to go.
Wow.
Because this is not something that he expected.
Mm.
And again, you know, we shifted that.
Mm. Wow, that's awesome. Folks, we're speaking with Iris Grimm, and she is a coach with Master Performance, Inc. Now, those areas of friction and need to change often occur in the example you mentioned where someone is been promoted or about to be promoted or mm-hmm. grooming for a different position, mm-hmm. because that creates a whole different dynamic mm-hmm. in terms of the way that person is interacting with the organization, right? More right. responsibility, more people that report to them, et cetera, right?
Right, right. Respectively, you know, some of you may be familiar with the book The E-Myth by Michael mm-hmm. Gerber,
sure.
right? Where he
mm-hmm.
talks about the three hats that a business owner is carrying. It's being the technician, you know, being the one who's doing the actual work, then being the manager, and then being the entrepreneur. And most people get promoted, even in companies, because of their technical skills, because they are good surgeons, right? Or because they are good salespeople.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when being a leader and inspiring people to greater action takes more than just good technical skills.
Right.
It takes caring for people. It takes the ability to communicate effectively with people. It takes inspiring people to greater action.
Mm.
And, you know, I always say, as a leader, you cannot expect something from other people that you are not willing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in that way, for people to also understand that being in a relationship and growing their leadership skills has less to do with the other people, but it has all to do with them, who they are as a leader. And I always like to call, you know, it's all vertical focus. We are focusing on everything between your hair at the top and your toe on the bottom, right? It's like when we are changing your energy, when you are becoming the person that people naturally feel drawn to, that people are inspired by, you know, the growth, the team performance naturally will follow.
That makes a lot of sense. So, Iris, how do you work with clients? I mean, you mentioned the hospital calling you about the surgeon. Does the company hire you, or the individual hire you, or both, or how mm-hmm. does that work?
Both. So, okay. Obviously, in companies, in larger companies or larger organizations, typically it's somebody in the HR department who reaches out to me, or somebody in the company who has seen me somewhere and heard something, or somebody referred, and then they're reaching out to me, and then they say, all right, we're having here somebody that needs some help. But then at the same time, I work with small business owners, you know, who just maybe hear from a friend, or maybe I meet them somewhere at a social gathering, or, you know, they are reading something on the web, and then they have the courage to reach out to me. Because, you know, many times it takes courage. And,
sure.
you know, a lot of times people, especially in organizations, when an executive or somebody is assigned a coach, many times they see this as a punitive approach, right? I'm doing something wrong, or I'm really struggling somewhere here, and now they are punishing me with somebody that I have to work with, right? But
right.
really, coaching is not should not be seen from a punitive perspective, and really just looking at it, oh, now I'm really doing badly in my job, and therefore I need a coach. But really, it's like I am somebody in a position who wants to do great things. I want to be challenged to be better tomorrow than today. I know, I'm sure I have some blind spots that I can't see, and I'm willing to engage with somebody who helps me get me to the next level and help me really to also integrate my work with my life. Because
sure.
that is something else that oftentimes happens, where people get a new position, people start a business, you know, and suddenly their business becomes their life.
Right, right. And you, you've got a situation there where a company's actually wants to make an investment in someone, right?
Mm-hmm, right?
So that's really what we're talking about. It's hard for the person on the other side to see that, I realize, but there's an investment being made in their potential.
Right. Yes, it is.
So, talk about, let's get to dogs. So, because we people might think we were joking about that, but you actually use dogs in terms of coaching partners.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about how that works.
Okay. So it is an ability of mine to merge two of my passions. Mm-hmm. It is helping people and helping dogs. I have been having dogs of my own for the last 19 years. I'm very engaged in the rescue world. I love the stronger breeds such as German Shepherds, Rottweiler, Pit Bulls.
Why am I not surprised you got a German Shepherd? But anyway, bad joke.
No, that's all right. You know, it's what you're comfortable with.
Right, of course.
They speak German.
Of course. That's right. That's right. I love it. It's your native tongue.
It's
I love
my
it.
Native tongue.
Yeah,
that's right.
I love it.
Even though I always say to people, you know, no dog comes with a chip in their head that says English, you know, that they already know sit and down and all of these things, right? It takes some teaching there.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, my love for training, you know, training people and my knowledge of dogs, because I also competed with my dogs, ended up where I gave workshops to raise money for rescue groups, where people could come with their dogs and tell me what kind of issues they had with their dogs. And I could either tell them and give them suggestions, and or I could demonstrate with my own dogs how I would handle a situation like that. And so the more I did this kind of work, I really realized that how much dogs are life teachers. You know, they are not just pets. They are not just something that I rescue because I felt sorry for them. Many times it's the dogs who are rescuing the people.
Mm.
And, you know, dogs are spiritual beings. Mm. And they show us what it means to love, what it means to forgive, what it means to overcome, right? Because
sure.
With the right leadership, dogs can overcome almost anything. And so me combining my coaching and my love for dogs was where I said, all right, how can I help my clients with their dogs, where their dogs become their coach as well, and we together become the coaching partner for this client to become a better leader? So I give you an example. A couple of years ago, I met somebody who had a lab mix kind of dog. And we had a conversation about the dog, right? And he was telling me that there is one obnoxious behavior that he does where sometimes he growls at home for no reason. And I always say to people, all right, bring the dog over. Let me just see who you are being with your dog. And, you know, I asked him to do a couple of things, and I really realized that, I realized very quickly, this dog had a lot of, he was very obedient, but he was not happy. Mm. Now, if you have a dog that is obedient, but then really not happy, especially with a lab, almost every lab mix is happy.
Sure.
Right? And in his tone, how he communicated with this dog was very clear. It was this black and white relationship, right?
Oh, wow.
It was this, I'm telling you what to do and you better do it, right? And then in the conversation, then I also found out that he owns his own little company. He had a little manufacturing company where he had like 10, 12 people working for him. And I asked him, how is that working out for you in your business? Because the one thing that I do know is how you do anything is how you do everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he opened up about that. He did not know at the time that I also do leadership coaching, right? Because we had a conversation about the dogs.
Right, right.
And he opened up and talked more about his business and what he was struggling there. And so with that, I was like, all right, would you be willing? You know, this is something here. I love to talk about dogs, but this is really what I'm doing for living. Would you like to go with this a little bit further? And so then we used his relationship with his dog to open up his approach to leadership, to explore new ways of being with his dog that he then also could transfer into his work with his people. And so again, that is where I use a dog. When somebody has a dog, when there is a situation that allows to bring in a dog, not every topic allows to talk about,
sure,
you know, or bring in a dog. But in that way, it's a way to pull somebody out of their typical way of thinking about leadership, about life, and include their dog, which is usually something that they really love. And then again, it's all about helping them see the situation differently so that new openings open up or new insights open up that they could not see before.
Yeah, and That requires somebody to buy into the notion that the way you do one thing is the way you do everything, right? Because they have to buy into the notion that the way they're handling their dog is the way they're handling people.
Yeah. But right? You know, the way how you show up at work is the way how you show up in life, in your personal life. There is not much difference.
Right.
Right. And in the end, really what you want to do is, no matter where you are, you want to be your true self. You know, you never want to act somewhere. You know, that, especially with dogs, that never works. You know, because they read your energy. They don't know anything else about you. They don't know your title. They don't know how much money you have. They only know about your energy. And they either follow you because you are balanced, or they don't.
And people are the same way, right?
People are the same way.
In terms of the sensing your energy is what I mean.
People sense their energy, but people have lost that instinct to listen to that. Right? Because we are too much in our head. We have lost our connection with our own body. We have lost listening to our intuition. And again, that is one of the reasons why so many times people are working so hard.
Right.
Right? Because it's all in their head. And they're powering through, struggling through, not really including their body into decision-making, into their daily processes.
Right.
And, you know, that is also something where I help people, because when I work with clients, I also do what is called a lot of somatic coaching, meaning using the body, and especially when it comes to emotional topics, right, where sometimes those energies are still stored in the body somewhere and they need to come out, they need to be released.
Wow, this is fascinating. Lots of questions I could ask, I would like to ask, but we're coming up on close to time. But I want to get into how you work with folks. You said you work with both. You're hired by both the companies to work with individuals and teams, and you're hired by individuals. But how does that work? Somebody's heard something that they're interested in. They give you a call. I take it you have a consultation and decide how you're going to work together?
Yeah, I have a consultation. I have a conversation with them to find out a little bit more about their situation. Sometimes I have a second conversation just to see how willing and open they are, right? And when there is something that they say, I really want to change that, I really want to work with you, then I start out with giving them some reflective questions that they have to answer on their own, because coaching is all about at first raising their awareness. And then based on that, we'll figure out a program that works best for them. For some people, I meet initially for a full day, just to get a little bit deeper and drill a little bit deeper in some of those questions. With some people, I meet right away for, you know, every other week, for an extended period of time. Typically, it's like 6 months or longer. With people who are in a leadership position, sometimes I do a 360 interview first with some of their staff members and team members to get their input of what are some of the blind spots of this leader? What is this leader really doing well? How can I serve them? And then sometimes, you know, we sit together also in that way to say, all right, so here is a way we could include the team, and we could do some team coaching, or we could do some team training, or just initially working with the leader. So really, depending on where this individual is, where the company is, where they want to go, we create a program based on what fits their needs. So, and that is a freedom that I have. And
sure.
Really the creativity that I can bring to my work and help my clients in the best way I feel in the moment.
That's awesome. I want you to give advice, because not every coach is a fit for everyone that contacts them,
right,
and vice versa. You may have somebody contact you and you say that I'm not a great fit, and you send them on to someone else. But what should someone be looking for in a coach? Do they're interested in, they feel like they have that need. What should they look for?
What they should look for is really that the coach listens to them. What they also should look for is that the coach does not immediately give them a bunch of advice, because this is not what coaching is about. What they also should look for is that they feel comfortable with that coach, that they feel like they can build a trusting relationship with them, that they feel like that there is mutual respect, and that they feel like that this is an individual who really can help them excel in their life and in their work. So again, it comes back to feeling. It is really about, yeah, using my head and my thinking, but really, how does it feel like for me being in the presence of this coach or being on the phone with this coach? Because if they feel like that they are getting irritated, or, you know, they are stressing or anything else, or that there's something cramping up in their body, there is a sign, that is a sign to pay attention to.
Sure is.
And it could be, that could be because of the topics that the coach addresses, right? That they are getting triggered. Or it could be that just that they are not gelling well enough with that coach.
Right. Makes sense. Iris, this has been great. We could go on for quite a while, but I want to get the mics turned off so you can help me with my dog. So, by the way, it's a dachshund. So,
oh, okay.
They're
feisty dogs.
Yeah, I know. They're little feisty little critters. But no, seriously, we want folks that have heard something that has triggered a desire to be in touch. How do they be in touch with you?
Well, one way is to go to my website, which is www.irisgrim.com, or they just can give me a call. My phone number is 770-428-2334.
And that's Iris Grimm with two M's, yeah. GRIMM.com.
Like, right, just like the Fairy Tale Brothers.
Awesome. Iris Grimm with Master Performance, Inc. It's been great. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, John.
So, folks, if you need some help that involves some other kind of headache that might entail, let's say, administrative tasks, bookkeeping, marketing, presentations, maybe a workshop to be planned, well, go engage a smart and reliable office angel, and they'll take care of that headache. They're not a temp agency or a placement firm. Office Angels matches your business support needs with angels who have the talent and experience necessary to fly in and help you maintain and grow your business on an ongoing or as-needed basis. Your terms, your timeline. They lend a hand when needed and fly off when the job is done. Find out more at officeangels.us or call Chief Executive Angel S.E. Escobedo at 770-442-9246. And folks, just a reminder, we are on all the major podcast apps, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Podcasts, Spotify. We even throw all these on YouTube, all these shows on YouTube. But the point is, we're out there and can be found. And if you search for North Fulton Business Radio, you'll find us on your favorite podcast app. So subscribe, like us, help us keep doing the work that we're doing in terms of highlighting great business leaders like Iris. You can also listen to all our shows at NorthFultonBusinessRadio.com and find our archive going on 200 shows now. On social media, connect with us there, whether that's LinkedIn, Twitter, or Facebook. We're at North Fulton BRX. So for my guest, Iris Grimm, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.
Renaissance Rewards Extra is the checking account that checks all the boxes. Roadside assistance? Check. Cell phone insurance? Check. More than 400,000 local shopping discounts? Check. Up to $25 per month in ATM refunds and a great rate? Check. All in an easy-to-use mobile app. To open an account or find out more about Renaissance Rewards Extra Checking, go to renaissancebank.com or visit us at any of our more than 190 locations throughout the South. Renaissance Bank. Understanding you. Member FDIC. Equal Housing Lender.